On Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments over whether it's a violation of the Constitution to sentence a juvenile to life in prison until they die. Human Rights Watch says the U.S. is the only country in the world that still imposes sentences of life without parole on juveniles. Today, more than 2,500 people are serving sentences of life without parole in the U.S. for crimes they committed before they turned 18. 263 of them are incarcerated in California. But as Nancy Mullane reports, either way the U.S. Supreme Court decides, it isn't going to make a difference for juveniles facing life behind bars in California. But a bill under consideration in the state legislature just might. Here's Nancy.
The cavernous cinder block visiting room at the Central California Women's Prison, just outside Chowchilla in the Central Valley, is filled with women wearing prison blue shirts and pants. Some are young, others elderly. Their hair is done up, their makeup is perfect. It's the annual Get on the Bus Day, the one day of the year when children and family members are brought to the prison to visit their locked-up mothers and daughters. Elizabeth Lozano is sitting on a stool attached to a round table in the middle of the room. She's waiting for her mother and her 14-year-old son to walk through the door. Their bus is late.
A lot of the children that I see come here don't know their mothers as their mothers because of them being taken away so young. But my mom, my family has raised him knowing I'm his mom. And when he was a baby, we got that bond because they would come visit me a lot to make sure that bond stayed.
All around, women prisoners and their toddler to teenaged kids sit at the tables and talk. Others walk together, their arms wrapped tightly around each other's waists. These families don't necessarily know each other well, but are making the most of the visit. Lozano's dark eyes are glued to the security door at the end of the room. With each passing minute, precious time is lost. All of the visitors have to get back on the buses at 3, and it's already just about noon. While she waits, she tells the story of her crime. It all started when she was 16. She was in the ROTC at her high school. Then she met a guy who was in a gang.
How do you get into a gang? You get jumped in. How do you get out of a gang? Once you see everything that's going on, how do you get out? You get jumped out or you're killed because you might be a snitch. That's how they look at it. So when you are under peer pressure and you know that, for instance, with me, I was scared.
One night while she was out with the gang, her boyfriend committed a robbery and then shot a rival gang member.
So when this happened, my dad decided to send me to Mexico with my mom. She was already living over there. So that made it look worse for me.
After spending 2 years in Mexico, Lozano came back to the U.S. at the age of 18 to live with her mother in Southern California. Then, a little over a year later, she was arrested and charged with first-degree murder under the felony murder rule. That law holds everyone involved in a felony equally responsible for any death that occurs during the crime, regardless of whether or not they were involved in the murder. More than 25% of people in the U.S. serving life sentences for crimes they committed when they were teenagers didn't commit the murder. They were there when it happened, and so, like Lozano, were guilty by association.
I was living a normal life, not thinking anything. I didn't actually commit the crime, so I didn't think it would matter. I mean, I was young, but yes, I was arrested. I had just turned 20.
Lozano was pregnant when she was found guilty and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
I went to a juvenile hall, and I was there for 2 months until they decided to bound me over to the adult court system, and then I went to Civil Brand, which is an adult woman county jail, which was really scary. And then I came here, which was even scarier.
That was 14 years ago. Lozano is now 34 years old. She's gotten her GED and is enrolled in college classes, working towards an associate's degree in behavioral and social science. From behind the prison walls, she volunteers on a gang intervention panel as a youth mentor. Even though she's facing life in prison until she dies, she has hope that new legislation or high court decisions will change her fate.
There are a series of potential lights at the end of the tunnel, but none of them are particularly bright.
That's Frank Zimmering. He's a professor of law at UC Berkeley and an expert in the field of criminal juvenile justice. He's looking forward to November 9th, when the U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments over whether it's cruel and unusual punishment to send a teenager to prison until he or she dies for a crime that did not involve murder. Like Lozano, 95% of all prisoners in the U.S. serving juvenile life sentences were originally convicted of murder-related crimes and won't be affected either way the court rules. Still, Zimmering doubts the Supreme Court will even narrowly change existing law.
The smart money, you know, if there were sports bookies for constitutional litigation, the smart money would say the Supreme Court is going to stay out of this. They're going to find a way of upholding the sentence.
Even so, the U.S. Supreme Court isn't the only branch of government taking a look at laws that lock juveniles in prison forever for crimes they committed before they turned 18.
You know, how we treat our children defines our society and defines us as human beings.
Earlier this year, Democratic State Senator Leland Yee of San Francisco introduced Senate Bill 399. The bill would authorize an inmate who has served 10 years of a juvenile life sentence to have the original sentencing court change or even cancel their sentence.
Some momentary action of a youngster does not define that person's future forever. And so there is hope for those youngsters. And I think that we need to express that hope by giving them chance and another chance to try and make a better life for them.
Yee's bill passed in the Senate with a bipartisan vote, but was voted down in the Assembly's Public Safety Committee by a 4-3 vote. One independent, two Republicans, and a Democrat, San Francisco Assemblywoman Fiona Ma, voted no.
Had we been able to get our bill out, the governor probably would have signed it.
Republican Assemblyman Kurt Hagman, representing Chino Hills, was one of the four no votes. Now he says he's not entirely opposed to the bill.
There's a lot of different ways to look at these issues, both fiscally, both from a penalty phase, both, you know, what's justice and what, how do you define that?
Hagman says the idea of releasing inmates serving life sentences for crimes they committed as juveniles warrants further scrutiny.
I'm sure this bill will come back up. I look forward to debating and digging these issues a little more. Hopefully we'll have a lot of testimony from many different groups. And then if it is appropriate to take some, you know, amendments and to make the bill even better, if that's possible. I'm not completely 100% opposed to any kind of to sentencing requirements that may look at individual inmates' circumstances.
San Francisco Democrat Tom Omiyana was recently appointed chair of the Assembly's Public Safety Committee. He says he's definitely going to bring the bill up for another vote when the legislature reconvenes in January.
When you have areas of significance like this, which are really life-death issues to many people, you know, you can't mess around. You know, you can't be Dr. No. You just can't vote no because of that you're being lobbied. You know, you have to have a reasoned approach. And we're going to try to bring that back.
Back at the Central California Women's Prison in Chowchilla, Elizabeth Lozano is still waiting for the bus carrying her family to arrive. She says passage of Senate Bill 399 is her hope for the future.
Passage does not mean my freedom. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It means that I have to prove myself to these people that I'm ready to go home. My education, my self-help groups, it does not mean that I will go home, but it gives me hope. It means that I wasn't sentenced to a death sentence because that's how it feels. Life without parole is another death sentence in here. Just gives me hope.
Suddenly, the security door opens. Lozano looks up to see her 14-year-old son, Kevin, and her mother walk in. She rushes over to hug them. Her son is taller now than she is. His chin has a brush of fuzz. She looks him over, takes his hand in hers, and begins a slow walk around the room. For Cross Currents, I'm Nancy Mullane.